Y'all, my name is John Elmore, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from alcoholism and pride and many assorted gold nuggets, just like that. Hey, everybody. So first you see that video and you're like, oh, sweet little kiwi, that's funny, what's he eating? And by the end of it, it's haunting as you see him go from this progression where he is savoring it and then craving it and then enslaved to it. At first, he just like sees it, toys with it a little bit, ingests it, makes him feel good. And because it made him feel good in the moment, then craves it. And you see that that then leads to being enslaved to it. And though it was killing him, kept on going after it again and again and again. And I've been that kiwi. I've been that little bird for much of my life, and in some ways, still am. Some of the paradoxes that you see throughout that video is that he needed more of it, but was getting less of it. And so he needed to get that high again. He wanted more of it, and yet was getting less. He wanted to leave it, but couldn't let it go, is oftentimes how we feel too with whatever we may be ingesting. We want to leave it and yet can't let it go. And then the other one, finally, one of the paradoxes is you think you can control it, but in reality, it, whatever your it may be, is controlling you. And so I think all of us at some level can relate to that, which is why we're here in this room. And that there was a prophet in the 80s who spoke to this issue. And some of his prophecies are still in writing. I have a little bit of the words here today that I want to read. You don't have to be so exciting, just trying to give myself a little bit of fun. You always look so inviting, hurt so good. Come on, baby, make it hurt so good. Sometimes love don't feel like it should, so make it hurt so good. That's what that Kiwi's experience is. John Cougar Mellencamp, what he captured in the 80s. I was a child of the 80s. I was going to sing it for you, but you'd have booed me off stage. But he was talking about this thing that he loved, and yet it was hurting him. He wrote the song, Hurt So Good, which is exactly what we saw there, and is exactly what we see in our lives with whatever sin we engage with. Like, sin on some level gives us something that we want. There is momentary satisfaction, momentary relief, momentary peace, momentary ease, momentary pleasure. There's momentary, some fractured and poisonous as it may be. There's some level of good that we receive from it. Otherwise, no one would ever do it. And yet it hurts. It hurts so good afterwards, that second that that sin is over, or in the day or week after, it's like, why did I go back to that? And then we go back to it. And we fall into this cycle of sin, confess. I'm going to sin again, but I'll confess, and I'll sin, and I'll confess. Some of you are thinking like, oh yeah, that person's in my regen group. And they're thinking the same thing about you. When we sin and confess without repentance, we're just stuck. It's good to acknowledge it, but unless we turn from it, we're going to end up like that little bird. And you see the progression from like healthy and thriving all the way to death. And the Bible makes it really clear, and I've experienced it, that sin does lead to death. And so I want to note that the reason why we sin, confess, is because everyone in this room, leadership, staff, from the very first time visitor, is addicted. We all have addictions. Every single one of us. It's the thing that you go back to even though you know it's bad for you. And so addictions aren't qualified by the number of times you use in a particular day or week. It's that if you go back to it despite knowing that it's hurting you or killing you, that would qualify as an addiction, because otherwise you would just stop doing it. But there's some compulsion within you that draws you back to it. Now, some of you might be thinking like, hey, you don't know me. I don't stick needles in my arm. I'm not a recovering alcoholic like you. But there's an incredible amount of addictions. And Satan would love for you to believe that you're not addicted while being addicted to something that might be seemingly more innocuous than, say, substance abuse, that's actually more deadly, like pride or self-righteousness. You can be addicted to that. Critical thinking, like thinking less of someone through self-righteousness, pride, or critical spirit. That can be an addiction where you just are always on the offensive against other people's problems. There can be relationship addiction. Where you just always giving yourself, like, I don't know, I've just always been in a relationship since the eighth grade. And when I'm not in a relationship, I'm so lonely. I feel devalued, like I'm nobody. And so I got to find a guy to love me or a girl that will give me what I want. There's sexual relationships, of course, the sex addiction, where it's just you give yourself over to it and then just increasingly are devoured by it. Pornography is rampant for both men and women, beginning at ages, I mean, prepubescent now, like even middle school and beyond, elementary school, being exposed to pornography and masturbation, that addiction. Food, of course, food and sweets through those addictions. There's often a phrase, we don't stop sins, we swap sins. And so I know in my life when I've like, God has helped me to squash down alcoholism, like up pops an addiction or feasting or binging or gorging on sweets and sugar or food. And so you think about like tobacco addictions, social media addictions, and how many likes that you get or don't get. Work, power, success, status, money, video games, your phone. I know that one's bad in my life. A desire to solve everyone's problems, codependency. There are so many addictions. It's whatever a sin struggle is. And if it's a recurring thing in your mind, don't let Satan or your pride or flesh deceive you to think like, wow, it's not that bad. It's not, I mean, it's not gonna like kill me. It will. Sin will kill you. John Owen says, be killing sin or it will be killing you. And so we've got to take these addictions with soberness of spirit and realize that all of us have to make war against them. And so today we're gonna be talking about a solution to your addiction. And truly, I mean this with 100% integrity. What I'm going to talk about tonight from the Word of God, by the power of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the Spirit that God has given us, you can be addiction-free in 24 hours. Then in 24 hours, you can be free of addiction. And that's what we're going to unpack tonight. To eradicate that addiction in your life, we've got to make a proactive decision. In that 24 hours to be addiction-free will happen one day at a time. And so today we're gonna be talking about addiction-free in 24 hours, or if you wanted to call it shorter, sober in 24 hours. To be sober 24 hours, just one day at a time. And a little bit of a disclaimer, like this is how God got me sober. I've been sober from alcohol for almost, coming up on 13 years in December. And like all of that is 100% Jesus. Like I tried getting sober on my own for years and I couldn't. There just was no way. I tried every different method. I had doctors tell me that I was dying. It was only through surrendering daily to Jesus. But the reason why I'm now almost 13 years sober is because of this principle, sober 24 hours, one day at a time. And that was transformative in my life. God used it to completely transform my life. And that's why I wanted to share it with you today, because I think if everyone in this room was able to grasp that with whatever your struggle or addiction may be, and you would employ it, like you would believe it and start living it in your life, there would be revival through here. Because here's the thing, if you've trusted in Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, if you believe that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, if you've trusted in him for the forgiveness of your sins, you believe that he's Lord and God raised him from the dead, it says in Romans 6 that you're no longer a slave to sin. Period. You're no longer a slave. That while we were slaves to sin prior to Christ, that if we have trusted in Jesus, that old man or woman has been crucified with Christ, buried and raised again to walk in newness of life. And so you're no longer a slave to sin. And so this is a way, what we're going to talk about tonight, how you can walk in that freedom. The first point is reactive confession. Reactive confession is often what we do. Like, hey, when I sin, if and when I sin, I'll confess it to my region group, my community group, my roommate, whoever. Like, if and when I sin, I'll confess it. That's reactive confession. I'm going to do it after it happened in a reactive reaction sort of way. This equals cleansing and healing. Like, it's so beneficial. It's so good to do. I'm not talking against it. There's cleansing from 1 John 1:9, where it says, if we confess our sins, if we acknowledge them to God through Jesus' forgiveness, he is faithful. He'll do it every single time. Forgive us. And he is just. He's the only one that can forgive you. You can't forgive yourself. You're the one that sinned. God alone can forgive you. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's the cleansing. Now there's healing as well. That's James 5:16. That's why we pray for each other after we confess sin here at Regeneration. It says, therefore confess your sins to one another. Not a priest in a box, one way, but we're doing it to each other. Confess your sins to one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So their part is to confess. Our part is to pray. God's part is to heal. And so that's going to bring cleansing and healing. The way that I would understand this is I get recurring migraines. So I get migraines. It feels like there's an atomic golf ball right at this intersection of my temple and my forehead. It just like throbs, light sensitivity, just shuts me down. And so I mentioned that once, and this doctor who goes here at Watermark, friend of mine, he's like, hey, I want you to come in to see me. And I was like, dude, praise God, thank you. And I go in to see him, and he gives me this battery of tests, like EKG, CAT scan to make sure it wasn't a tumor, hooks me up, has me running on a treadmill to try to manipulate my body into reproducing the symptoms again, like a stress test, did a blood draw. Even a dermatologist at his office came and looked at my skin to see if there was some kind of condition. I was like, no, they're freckles. That's not causing it. And then he goes, okay, well, drop your drawers. And I was like, oh no, I said migraine, not butt pain. Migraine, it's up here. And he's like, yeah, I know. I care about you, I love you, and so I'm gonna be thorough. And you're 40. And there's only one way to get to a prostate. And so I was like, okay, gonna be thorough. And so, just in case you're curious, healthy prostate. And you can say these things at recovery meetings. People are applauding. That's funny. That's so weird. Laura's gonna be like, you said what? Was that in your notes? No, it just came out. So here's the thing. He gave me medicine. Like after I was able to pull my pants back up, he was like, okay, well, it turns out it is migraines and not your prostate. Gave me some medicine. And you're like, I don't want to ever see your doctor. Gave me some medicine. The medicine worked, like praise God, because Advil wouldn't touch it, Tylenol wouldn't touch it. But this prescription migraine medicine worked. And he said, hey, you need to watch your sugar intake, you need to get 8 hours of sleep, you need to drink a lot of water, and you need to avoid caffeine. And so I eat a lot of sugar, I barely sleep because of our children, I don't drink enough water because I drink a ton of coffee. Like, that's my routine. And so he told me what to do, and I did none of it. I did the opposite of it, and I still got migraines. And so just like that, as you go into your recovery groups and you're here at Regeneration, you can confess sin. You can be prayed for. And confession will bring cleansing, and confession to others will bring healing as they pray for you. But if you don't do what you're supposed to do, don't expect healing. You're still going to get those migraines of whatever sin it is. Like, it's not going away unless you do something about it too. There is a cooperation, a collaboration, co-laboring with the Spirit where Jesus says, if your hand leads you into sin, cut it off. Like, so he by the Spirit, gives us power. Romans 8:13, it says, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. And so there's a co-laboring with the Spirit to put to death the deeds of the flesh. But there's something with us. There's a reactive confession, but there's got to be something more. And here's what James also says later, or before in James, in 4:7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And so there is this submission to God, and then resistance of the devil, and he will flee from you. So the second thing is a proactive decision. a proactive decision. The first was a reactive confession. This is a proactive decision, meaning deciding you're going to do something ahead of time. This is confessing after the fact. This is deciding ahead of the fact, a proactive decision. What this gives you, unlike healing and cleansing, this gives you resistance and persistence, or resisting and persisting. It's based on Joshua 24, 14 through 15. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve." There it is. Choose this day, a proactive decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. Today, choose, will I serve God or will I serve my flesh? Will I serve God or will I serve Satan? Will I serve God or will I serve what the world says that I should be and do? Choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, the gods of the Amorites and the land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's the proactive decision. Joshua leading his people into the promised land of Christ, if you want to speak in like typology, is that there was this Moses figure transition to Joshua. They're leading into the promised land that is Christ and say, hey, we're going in. There are going to be people that worship other gods. There's going to be idolatry. There's going to be temptation. And before we go in, you choose this day whom you will serve. As for me, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a proactive decision before they go into the temptation. You've got to decide proactively. Here's what this looks like. Laura sent me to the grocery store. That's just a way I say sent me, like as if it was some like mean thing. She was like, hey, could you go to the grocery store? And so I grabbed all three of our kids to give her some time. She does it all 5 days of the week by herself as a stay-at-home mom. Least I can do is grab all three kids and do it for a couple of hours. And by the way, single moms in the room, you're heroes. You are heroic. Like, I did it for 2 hours, and I'm like ready to relapse. Like, get me a stiff drink. Like, and you single moms do it all the time, and you just labor in the hidden places, and you don't get encouragement when you come home, and so amazing. And single dads, for that matter, too. I know there's single dads as well. So anyway, go to the grocery store. Got the kids. I've got Judd strapped onto the front of me because he's 10 months. And then the other two, I had them in the cart. Somehow they negotiated, Jedi mind trick. They're out of the cart, which is really dangerous. Touching everything, grabbing things, putting it in the cart. Anyway, I was sent to the grocery store with a list of 8 items. It was like pumpkins, 2 vegetables, some fruit for the kids, bottled water, chapstick. I was like, that's what we went to the store for. Here's a picture of what we ended up with. No joke. Like over 100 items. We went in for 8. You know why? Because I didn't make a proactive decision. I went into temptation without a proactive decision. Now, Laura told me, hey, I think these things would be good. And I got those things, but I got whatever I wanted and whatever the kids wanted as well, and just loaded up the cart. And so that's what happens. If you don't make a proactive decision, because if I would have, if Laura would have said, hey, you're going to Walmart, they have everything. When you go in, choose 8 things that are on the list and nothing else. Then I would have come home because I knew when I walked in that door with 2 small bags, she would have been like, did you get the 8 things? I'd be like, yeah, you asked me to get the 8 things. I got the 8 things. Did you get anything else? No, because I agreed to not get anything else. Here's the 8 things. Here's the children. I'm going to go take a nap. How do you do that 5 days a week? But she didn't. And so I end up with 200 items in a cart that couldn't contain anything more. And that's what we do because we don't make a proactive decision when we go into the land or world of temptation. Even though God's told us 8 things or whatever that would be beneficial, we're like, yeah, we'll do that. And we'll do some more. Because we haven't decided. We haven't made a proactive decision. Like, we did not choose this day. I will serve the Lord and no one or no thing else. There's got to be a proactive commitment. That's what we need. First time I walked into an AA meeting, I walked forward and I got a 24-hour chip. This was a commitment to stay sober for 24 hours. You see it there on the screen. I've carried this for 12 years plus. And I remember this guy walked up to me, Charlie Parker. I don't know. You're not supposed to say last names in AA. Anyway, that's his name. He's awesome, by the way. I hope he comes here sometime. He's a believer now, and he's great. Charlie walks up, and he was like, hey, you're going to need a sponsor, and so I'm going to need to help you, and will you commit to staying sober for the next 24 hours? And I was like, hey, look, Charlie, I don't mean this to be personal. I need real help. Like, I've drank for 12 years, and I can go a day without drinking. I need to quit, like, for life. Like, I've had doctors tell me I'm going to die. I'm losing everything. I need to quit for life. And he's like, yeah, don't worry about that. Will you stay sober for 24 hours by God's strength? And I was like, Charlie, look, I've stayed sober for a day before. I've stayed sober for a week. One time when I got in a lot of trouble, I even stayed sober for a month. I don't need a day. I need real help. And he's like, mm-hmm. Will you stay sober by God's strength for 24 hours? And I was like, fine. He's like, good. By God's strength. And I was like, yes, Charlie. He's like, call me tomorrow. Let me know how you did. He's like, okay. 24 hours later, well, I prayed. I'm like, Lord, keep me sober. Please keep me sober from alcohol for the next 24 hours. Call him the next day. How'd you do? Stayed sober 24 hours. Great. By God's strength? I mean, I prayed. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, thought about drinking that night, but I knew I was going to have to call you the next day, and you were going to ask, and so, yeah, sober for 24 hours. And he's like, you want to re-up? You want to go another 24? And I was like, Charlie, I need help. I've gone a day. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm asking. Will you go another 24 hours? I was like, okay, all right, fine, just so you'll stop. Yes, went another 24 by God's strength, prayed, got on my knees. Every day I would get on my knees and be like, Lord, I can't do this. You can. Please keep me sober. And anytime I'd be tempted or I see my old drinking buddies call, I'd be like, dude, I'm going to have to tell Charlie tomorrow at 5 when I have to call him. He's going to wonder. He's going to ask me. And so I stayed sober for the next 24 hours. And that was one day at a time. Now, what I did was, is I focused on God rather than on, like, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink. Like, anytime the temptation came, I would focus on God, and I would pray again, and I would think, I've made that commitment. Charlie's going to ask. I had accountability proactively. And so that's how this works. Now, I brought a little thing up here. Anybody know what this is? Twinkie. That was a confession of sin that you know what it is. Now, this particular Twinkie is no longer sponge cake. It is, it's like solid. It's 4 years old, which is concerning. There's no mold or anything. Like, that tells you about Twinkies. But would anyone like this Twinkie? Would anyone eat this? Yeah, no. Why don't you want to eat it right now? Might chip a tooth. It's gross. Here's what I bet. I bet I can go out there at that intersection at Coit and 635. There will be a homeless person there on my drive out. I bet I can put this out the window, and I bet they'll eat it before I drive off. Now, why do you think that is? Why, out of 1,000 people, no one said yes, and I bet he'll eat it tonight if I were to give it to him. Now, I won't. I'll give him a Cliff Bar or something good, but what's the difference? He's hungry, and you're not. He probably hadn't eaten in a week, and you might have had 3 meals already today. You're full, and so you can resist the pull. You're full on food, and so you can resist the pull, the temptation of that. You can resist it, because you're like, dude, I'm not going to eat that trash. I've had good food, and I know that I'll have good food afterwards at some point, tomorrow for breakfast. I'm not going to eat that. Why would I eat that? That's bad for me. That wouldn't be good. I'd be sick. But if you haven't eaten, you'll eat it. You'll eat it, absolutely. And so you've got to be fed on what's good. You got to focus on God by God's strength alone. That's how you can have that proactive decision. You can't just white knuckle this. It's by God's strength. Being full on God will enable you to resist the pull of whatever your temptation is. Does that make sense? You can resist that only by God, not your own strength. You have no power over sin. Jesus Christ alone has power over sin. Sin is a spiritual problem that demands a supernatural answer, and Jesus alone can give it. And so you got to focus on the God who saves rather than the flesh that craves. The third thing is freedom progression. So we've got a reactive confession, a proactive decision. The third thing is a freedom progression, because you're like, you think like, what? So you stayed sober one day at a time? Like, how did you get to 12 years? Freedom progression is by daily surrender. Luke 9:23 and 24. And he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." It says right there that we are to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. Daily. That we are to die daily. Die to our flesh. Die to our fleshly desires daily. Take up our cross, which is an object, an instrument of death. Die daily to my fleshly desires and follow Jesus. It says daily. That's the only way, is one day at a time. And so I'll ask people sometimes, you know, addicted to porn and masturbation, I'll be like, hey, let me ask you a question. If I ask you right now, could you sit a sober from porn and masturbation for the rest of your life? Could you do that? They're like, no, probably not. I mean, I'd like to say yes, but probably not. Okay. Hey, could you go a year? And it's like, I've been looking at it since I'm 12, I'm 46. History would say no. Okay, could you go a month? When's the last time you went a month? I don't even know. Okay. Hey, do you think by God's strength you could go a day, one day? And of all the people that I've met with, of all the different struggles they've had, I've never had a single person tell me that they could not go a day on their own by God's strength with whatever sin they're, I said I'm on their own. I don't mean that. That they could go a day with God's strength, have victory over whatever struggle it may be. Drugs, alcohol, porn, sex addiction, anything. Everyone has always said, yeah, I could do that. And so here's a little story that's told. Is a little boy was there with his dad, and he said, "Dad, do you think you could go the rest of your life without sinning?" And the dad said, "No, son. There's no way. No, I couldn't." "Well, Dad, do you think you could go a year?" "Son, no, I couldn't go a year without sinning." "Dad, could you go a month?" "No, son, I couldn't go a month." "Could you go a day, Dad?" "You know what, son? I think if I prayed a lot, I think if I read my Bible, I think if I was around God's people, I think if I worshiped the Lord with music and in deed, son, I think I could go a day." The little boy said, "Then, Daddy, why don't we just live one day at a time?" And that's it. Like, that's it. That's what God asked. He said, "Seek me first, my kingdom and my righteousness, just today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own." And so Charlie, now my sponsor, he'll call and he'll be like, "Dude, 12 years, congratulations. Let me get you a 12-year chip." Here's what a 12-year chip looks like. And I'm like, "Charlie, I actually don't want a 12-year chip. Even though it's really nice, it looks a lot better than a 24-hour chip. It's like got gold and black and people can see it from a mile away. It's like, oh, clearly not a 24-hour little cheap tin, you know, made out of aluminum chip. Like, that's a nice one. How many years you got?" I don't want it. That's dangerous to me. That's so dangerous to me. What I need is to be sober one day, just today. I don't need to rely on all my past. I need one day of sobriety. And so the way that I stayed sober, if you think about this, here's two buckets. And you think about my 24-hour chip. I was like, okay, I'll stay sober one day. My first sober commitment was on a Monday, just like you, maybe tonight. And then he said, "Hey, you want to do another day? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday." And I'm thinking at this point, dude, this is something, it's not going to last. You know, I've tried to quit on my own. I've tried this before. It doesn't work. I got a month once. I mean, really, Charlie, how long are we going to do this? Keep calling you, what, for the rest of my life and keep committing to daily sobriety? You want me to keep getting on my knees every day and saying, God, please keep me sober today, just today, by your strength, God. We keep me sober because I can't do it on my own, God. And after that, I kept doing it. And one day led to a week, led to a month, led to 3 months. I couldn't believe it had been 3 months. I remember thinking, like, that is a sheer impossibility that I've gone 3 months. And I was thinking, like, God, are you really gonna do this the rest of my life? But I saw that God's promises were true and that every single day he actually kept me sober and that he had the strength from it. Now, let me tell you, the first day, it was super tempting. Super tempting. The first month was super tempting. But God's word says that if I resist the devil, he will flee from me. Now, thus far, I've been sober today, so I'm gonna get to put another penny in the bucket. I've been sober today. You know how hard it was for me to keep sober today? Not hard at all, because I have resisted the devil in this part of my life, and he has fleed from me in that area of my life. And I haven't been struggling with alcohol for 12 years. And so I don't know what your struggle is, but I believe with all of my heart that whatever your struggle is, God will set you free just like he did me. Whatever your struggle is, whatever your addiction is, I know he will set you free because he promises to set you free. Jesus lives to set the captives free. And if you've already trusted in him, you already are free. Satan wants you to think that you're not. You're already free. And all it is to walk in the freedom that's already yours and to say, God, you've already opened the jail cell. All I need to do is walk out and not go back in. And every day resist the devil and he will flee from me. Now, you remember that kiwi at the end and how terrible he looked. Just filled with death, you could see the decay. Here's the thing, I've been sober from alcohol for 12 years, but I've not been sober from other things from 12 years. I remember Laura and I were fighting, first 6 years of our marriage. And I remember after one fight, she said, I just wish we could not fight for the rest of our lives. I was like, yeah, me too, but unless you change, we'll keep fighting. I didn't say that. We would have had another fight. But I was like, me too. I hate this. I hate this. You're my best friend, my bride. I love you, my sister in Christ. I hate this. And then it occurred to me, you know what? If God can keep me sober one day at a time from alcohol, I bet he's able. I bet he's got enough power to keep me sober one day at a time from fighting with Laura. And so I started making a daily decision, a daily commitment, proactively. I'm not gonna fight with Laura today by your strength. My strength, I'll fight with her. But by your strength, I commit. I'm not gonna fight with my wife. And you know what? For the last year, 1 year, we fought 3 times. And I guarantee you, it would have been a lot more than that. And those 3 fights were so much less. I wouldn't even call them fights. They were like little quarrels. No escalation. 3 times over the course of the year, and I'm hoping it's gonna be even less in the year to come. But here's what I need daily sobriety with now, is speaking harshly to my children in critical spirit. That's what I need daily sobriety with right now. And so what I want you to do right now, as the band comes out, the band's gonna come back out, they're gonna lead us in a song, but I want every person in here to think about what it is that you need to be sober from for 24 hours. I know you probably think, I can't quit for the rest of my life. And frankly, if you think that, you're wrong, and that's pride. But for you to think, what is it, God? What is it you would have me be sober from the rest of my, just for the next 24 hours? And then 3 steps. I want you to come forward, grab a penny. I want you to commit to God by his strength to stay sober from whatever that is and pray. I would always get on my knees when I would pray. I still do it every day. I get on my knees and submit my day to God. I surrender to him. You can do that if you want. You don't have to. But it's a position of humility for me. Grab a penny, pray, commit to the Lord to staying sober for the next 24 hours by his strength. And then when you go out into your groups, talk about it and say, hey guys, this is what my penny was. And the reason why it's a penny is a numerical value of one. It represents one day, just to stay sober for one day. And so commit to that person and then follow up with them the next day. Come forward, commit, and then call that person tomorrow about this time and say, hey, did you stay sober 24 hours from X, Y, and Z? Was it by God's strength? Do you want to go another 24 hours? You see, those pennies that are represented here, that's 12 years worth of pennies. If I grabbed a penny for every day sober from when I started, that's what that would be. And tonight, that can start for you one day at a time. This can be the beginning of your 12 years and lifetime of freedom by the power of Jesus Christ.